Let me just say a couple things before I bring this handsome upstart of a preacher forward this morning. And I'm really excited about Gary Carpenter, and Sue is somewhere there, I'm sure, listening. We love our Sue. In 1997, and I've always said this, Miss Barbara is my best friend for helping Candy and I get acquainted over in Tulsa. We went out in March of 1997, and I'd never seen Dave Roberson, and went out there and was introduced to his ministry. And that was March of 1997, so 28 years ago this March. So that's quite a long time, almost 30 years. And when he walked out and took the stage and began to speak, I knew that was it. I knew that it was over. My whole life had changed. That was it. And I was like the woman at the well in Samaria. I was like, come and see a man. And it wasn't him. I wasn't exalting a man. It was like, these are the words of life. This is what I've been looking for all my life, although I had been saved for many, many years, filled with the Spirit and gone to Bible college and a lot of other things. But nevertheless, it was just like Miss Gay when she read the first few pages of the book of The Walk of the Spirit, The Walk of Power. She told Marty, she said, this is it. This is what we've always been looking for. Well, that same year, another man took the stage for the first time at the conference, and that was my dear friend Gary Carpenter. And so I believe I met him at that conference, and that was March of 97, 28 years ago. And then the next year, we gave him an invitation, and he so graciously accepted. I would believe it was 98. I may stand corrected, but I believe it was the very next year, 98, that he came over. He took a chance on us. Hallelujah. Little Immokalee, you know, sometimes has a bad reputation. But he and Sue fell in love with the town, and they fell in love with us. And so the rest is history. Became one of my very closest friends and one of the, you know, the best teachers that I know of on the planet. So with no further ado, maybe we could bring this handsome young upstart into our midst. Oh, there he is already.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now, Gary. Awesome, man.
Well, hello, family.
You're just as handsome as ever.
The check is in the mail.
No, wait, we're supposed to do that for you. But we love you. This is your church. And so you just do whatever. Amen. Blessings.
Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Praise God. Well, this is a miracle of technology. What's amazing is you can see me, and the way Harry has this set up with the camera behind the pulpit, I can see you. And then if I look over this way, I have a television playing YouTube, and I can see us. It's amazing. I do want to thank Pastor Bronk and Candy for this invitation. Harry and I did a little test yesterday to try and make sure this was all going to work okay. And who knows, we may find a few bugs as we go along, but we're going to work it out. And we'll see how things go. I've done many of these Zoom meetings around the world, India and Brazil and Australia and other places. But usually they're pre-recorded. We'll record them, and then they'll show them there. Very often that's because we have to do it through an interpreter and into another language. Now, I want to tell you, normally I'm seated where you are on Sunday mornings. You know, the year 2022 was quite the year for us here in Tulsa. Early in that year, our pastor graduated to heaven. Later in that year, our building graduated to non-use. We lost the building that we had used for so long. And then that fall, my mother graduated to heaven. It was quite the year. And in those 2 years or so since then, many people have started attending churches elsewhere. And that's scriptural, you know, that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And I think that, you know, Tulsa is blessed with many wonderful churches. Now, some have moved away, and I don't know whether they're doing the message or not. But let me tell you this. It's not my purpose today to give an update on the prayer center. But the prayer center still is alive and well here in Tulsa, as well as in Immokalee, and as well as Dayton, to be honest with you, and other places around the world. And there is a remnant, there is a pretty large remnant, that's still pursuing the message, still doing what Pastor Dave taught us. I know in my own case, I am spending more time in prayer and fasting and the Word and worship. This past year, I spent more time in all of those than I've ever done in my whole life. But normally, where Sue and I gravitated to church is with you. And normally, every Sunday morning, I let Bronk and Candy know that, okay, we're here, we're seated, we're usually over somewhere around where Vladdy is sitting, you know, somewhere in that section. And I said, I don't let anyone sit in our chairs, you know. And what's amazing, right after we attend the service there in Immokalee, I don't know if you know it, but Sue and I have a jet airplane named the Internet. And we get on our Internet jet airplane and we fly. As soon as your service is over, we fly to Dayton, Ohio. And we joined the service there with Jim Martin and that group. But you are our church family, and we're with you every. I'll be honest with you, I am completely up to date on all the messages that Pastor Bronk has taught. And I'm going to echo what he said about that message that Homer delivered last week. You've got to hear that message. And I've already heard it twice. I'm going to hear it again. You cannot glean all of the revelation knowledge in one setting. That serving was too rich, too full. You can't digest it in one meal. You're going to have to digest that one again. I feel a little bit today like, what am I doing here? I feel a little bit like the first time they ever asked me to speak at the prayer center. And Pastor Dave was there in the audience. I imagine the first time it happened for Bronk is like, oh God, oh God, oh God, you know. And here I'm, you know, you've already got the finest that there is with Pastor Bronk and men like Homer. And then the guests that he has in, bring in like Mike Church. I like Mike Church. He says, my revelation knowledge has revelation knowledge. And then you ladies, I've heard some of you ladies minister, and it's just amazing, the revelation knowledge. But I don't want to take too much time because Bronk told me to hold this service to under 4 hours. So, maybe a little shorter than that. Now, I just want to let you know this. I'm just sharing with you as family. By the way, all of you that are joined online, that's the way I am. I'm one of you. I join online every week. And God bless you. I know you're all around the world, New Zealand, Australia, Brazil, Germany, all these different, England, all these different places. We love you, and we're all family. And this is for all of us. Now, it's still my practice daily. I'll just go ahead and tell you. Every day, I'm kind of like Bronk in a way. I've always been an early morning person. And my early mornings belong to the Lord. And you don't have to be a morning person. Sue is definitely not a morning person. But her fellowship with God is just as sweet or sweeter than mine, and her revelation knowledge is the same. And but for me personally, in my mornings, that's the time that's best for me. And I arise and I spend those mornings, and I'll just let you know, by instruction of the Holy Ghost, the first hour that I'm up in prayer and worship, you know, you go in and out, prayer, tongues, worship the Word. But during that first hour, I have an instruction to play on my iPhone the blueprint from the website there that you have, what we call the blueprint that began really in the last services, I think, of 2019, but we usually call it the blueprint 2020. Those 10 original prophecies that came through Pastor Bronk, during my first hour of prayer, I pray those. I play that again, that MP3, while I'm praying in tongues. And it's amazing still every now and then another sentence will, I'll hear it and I'll go, when did they add that sentence? I may have heard it 100 times, but then I heard it, you know. So I recommend that to you. And I'll just tell you, I was doing that again 2 days before Christmas, this last Christmas on December 23rd, just up praying. The hour had passed. I wasn't listening to the MP3 anymore, but I was just praying in the Spirit. And also, you know, it's important to listen. Pastor Dave, when he taught us all those years ago about distinguishing God's voice, he said, you pray, you get those tongues going, and you listen. You know, you get those tongues going, and then when you're in that training period, you stop and you listen, and you get to where you can hear those tongues continue for a season. But eventually what will happen there, that's, I call that place now the listening post. That's where you come to the master's door daily to listen at the posts of his doors. And he'll begin to speak to you sometimes in your known language. Of course, I have a recorder. Usually now it's my phone. Used to keep a little mini recorder. But if he says anything to me, I'm careful to record that and then later transcribe it. Well, on December 23rd, I was doing that, and he began to speak. And this came more in the way of a prophecy instead of a direct communication just to Gary. I didn't know exactly what he was wanting to do with this other than my own personal edification until Bronk invited me to do this service. And just right away, I knew that what he said to me on December 23rd was going to be the backbone of the message here today. So whoever has those printed prophecies, if you'd like to go ahead and start passing those out now, I know how you are. You're just like me. You're so hungry. If they pass something out to you too early, you're reading that all the time I'm trying to talk to you. So Pastor Dave, he'd be ministering and we start reading our Bible because he'd say, no. You should read that before you come to the service. I'm talking now, you know. But he began to speak to me this prophecy. And even before I began reading it to you, now we're going to read it together. And then he's given me 6 pages of notes that I have no idea if we're going to go through all of those or not. Or if he takes us in a different direction, my job is to follow him. And I know you know that. Began talking to me about the year of believing. Now, I guess the first thing to do, because you're going to be reading it anyway, let's just read it in its entirety. And then I'm going to come back and we're going to go through it a little bit line by line and share some things that he said to me about it. As he said, so again, I'll just tell you what was going on. I was minding my own business, doing the message, praying in the Holy Ghost, stopping to listen once in a while. You know, it's important to listen. Most conversations, you want them to be two ways, right? You talk, he talks. So anyway, when I began to listen, this is what I heard. And let's just read it now. This is what the Holy Ghost said. The year of believing. The time of wandering and wondering is over. Cross over now into the land of your inheritance. Conquer those few remaining strongholds of unbelief and possess what is yours. The year of inheritance, the year of obtaining, the year of possessing the land, the year of harvest, and the year of manifestation. Instant miracles. Be expecting instant miracles. Instant manifestations. Be expecting instant manifestations. Allow my bare arm to be manifested in strength through your bodies. I have answered your prayers, and I am stretching forth my hand to heal and to do signs and wonders by the name of my Son, Jesus Christ. Hold not back my bare arm through unbelief. Believe. See and say. See and say. This is how Jesus Christ ministered on earth And this is how he ministers through you today. See what I am doing and do likewise. Say what I am saying and watch the power flow. See and say. See and say. Fresh eyes. You shall see more clearly with the eyes of your spirit than ever before. You shall walk in truth as never before. Reality for you is no longer those things seen in the world. Reality for you are those things that exist in the kingdom of God. You shall no longer accept what the natural eyes perceive as being truth. My word is truth. You shall see with the eyes of Christ within you, and shall discern truth as it really is. I have no greater joy than to see my children walk in truth. Doubt not my spirit's willingness to manifest truth through Christ in you. See and say. See and say. My spirit shall perform all my good pleasure as you do so. Well, hallelujah. I don't think it's an accident that the first or the most recent service that I heard through Pastor Bronk was the year 2025 is the year of crossing over. And he was talking specifically using reference of crossing over Jordan. Many years ago, I was just doing a service. I believe it was an evening service at the prayer center. Just minding my own business, preaching the word of God as a teacher, you know. And I saw a vision happen that nobody else in the room saw, but I saw it as plain as you're seeing me now. I was standing there with a pulpit in front of me, had my Bible laying on it, just teaching away. Right in the middle of my teaching, like it's his service or something, over to my right, Jesus just walked through the wall. I saw him. He just walked right up next to where I'm preaching. I'm still teaching. I'm kind of looking at him walking up. He walks right up to the pulpit right beside me, puts his finger right down on the Bible that I had there on the pulpit. And he said, I want to be believed. And then he left. Well, I believe this is the year of crossing over. See, the time, when he says the time of wandering and the time of wandering, you notice how he put that? Well, because, again, of the events, many of the events that happened here in Tulsa in 2022, many have wandered. And it's not just here in Tulsa. Many have wandered from the prayer center in Immokalee. Many have wandered from the prayer center really in Dayton, Ohio, and other places. Doesn't mean necessarily just because they may have physically moved somewhere that they've left the message, but many have. And we have other words from the Lord that says they're going to return. And I believe that with all my heart. We love them all. But he says, there is a remnant that has remained faithful to do the message, whether they're still physically in your location or here in Tulsa or in Dayton, Australia, or there is a remnant around the world. I'm part of that remnant. You're part of that remnant. Many of the people watching and many of the people that will watch, they're still pressing in, still spending that time in prayer, still pushing away from the table to do more fasting, still spending those times of worship and in the Word, pursuing what we know God has promised us because the vision has not changed. Do you remember the vision that the Lord gave Pastor Dave in the beginning? I want you to take a group of people far enough into God that they'll bring a supernatural revival that will begin in your city and then spread around the world. That has not changed. We're still pursuing that same vision today, just the same as if we still had the building, just the same as if we're hearing Pastor Dave every week. The vision has not changed. Now, you know and I know that all hell has been thrown at this remnant. we We could make it a 4-hour service real easy. All we got to do is have person by person come up to the pulpit, give testimony. Just like Pastor Dave Sitt told us all those years ago, he says, when you start really doing this message, there's going to be a target painted on your back by the enemy. If you're stoppable, you will be stopped. We could have a 4-hour service real easy. Just everybody coming up to tell all the hell that's been unleashed in many ways, sometimes through marriage, sometimes through finances, sometimes through sickness, sometimes through persecution, sometimes through rebellious children, sometimes through whatever it is. Satan doesn't care what it is as long as he gets you to stop. But see, I think he's found a group that doesn't have any quitting sense. And I'm talking about you. And I'm talking about all of the remnant that's still pursuing. So he said, the time of wandering has come to an end. Cross over now into your inheritance. Now think about it. The types and shadows we have from the Old Testament. For 40 years they wandered. And to be honest, they wandered. It was a time of purging. And with just keeping it very simple, the old man had to die off. What word do we use for that today? What's that a type and a shadow of? That's mortification and the message of it. And it's been like a season. It seems like a generation. It seems like 40 years. Wandering and wandering. Lord, we have your promise and we're doing what you told us to do, but we're not seeing it, Lord. But there was a time, there's this time of mortification where you've got to deal with the flesh. And as Pastor Bronkwood taught us, he taught us recently again about it's exactly like that old man, the 40 years, the old man was dying, mortifying, while the new man was rising up, the new generation. That's the type of you, that spiritual man on the inside rising up until it's time now to cross over. But it type and shadow again, well, it's like Pastor Bronk taught us recently. The first 5.5 chapters of Ephesians is really about that same thing. Because that's where you're dealing with the flesh. Put away lying. Put away stealing. Put away all of these things. Deal with greed. Deal with all of those things of the old man. It's Galatians 5 and all of the works of the flesh listed there. Seems like it's been forever as we've mortified the deeds of the flesh and putting away the flesh. But there came a time. There came a time for Israel and there's come a time for us when he says, all right, it's time now. You've dealt with the flesh. Now, again, I'm going to say before I even go on further, yeah, we may have dealt with the flesh, all right, but don't you ever trust the flesh. I love how Pastor Dave puts it. He says, I don't care if you've been in heaven 30 minutes. Don't you even trust, even though your flesh is not there, don't you trust it for the first 30 minutes, you know? Yeah. The season now of wandering and season of dealing with the flesh, that war in many has pretty well been won. Again, it's also the difference between Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Verse 1 really is that period of time where you're dealing with the flesh. By the mercies of God, Paul says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, everything that he described to you in chapters 1 through 11, everything God has done for you, I beseech you that you now, you present your body a living sacrifice. Holy. Doesn't that sound like a body that has been mortified? A body that's holy now? A body that's acceptable to the Lord for his purpose? Well, that's the mortification process, and we've been in that for years and years, mortifying the deeds of the body, and even more than that, mortifying the motivations of the flesh. Okay. I got to be careful not to go down rabbit trails unless he sends me. Or we will be here 4 hours. Do you know Jesus promised? He told them in John 14, he says, I'm going in my Father's house. There's many mansions. That room, that word mansions is mone. It means a staying place, a room. Pastor Bronk has taught on all this too. But he says, I'm going to prepare a place, a room for you. In my Father's house. And really you could say he did that through sonship. How did he do that? He He made a place for us in the Father's house by making us sons of God. He has prepared a place for you in the Father's house in heaven. But did you know you are the one preparing a place, a room in the house of God on earth? And that room is your body. When Jesus said in John 14:23, he says, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." Did you know that word abode there is the same word as mansions in the earlier verse? It's that word mone that Pastor Dave taught us. Pastor Dave, that's a high compliment, Pastor Bronk. Pastor Bronk taught so perfectly about that word mone. You know, just like there was 40 years of the old man having to die off before the new man came to maturity, where the Lord said it's time to cross over Jordan. And again, Pastor Bronk, that first message, or the most recent one I heard, 2025, the year of crossing over, I think just was the perfect introduction for this message today. And the Lord's really the one orchestrating all of this anyway. You see, Jesus, in John 14:2, he said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." And the word, the Greek word there is mone. "In my Father's house there's many mansions." That's the way it is in the King James. But it really just means a room in the house of God. Jesus went, everything he did was to prepare a room for us in the Father's house, you could say in heaven. And he did that by sonship, by making his Father our Father. We now have a room in the Father's house, you could say in heaven. But see, really what Romans 12:1 is about, where you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord. He uses the same word. He says, John 14:23, he says, "Jesus answered and said unto them, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." It's the same word, mone. So let me say it to you like this. Jesus, he prepared a room for us in the Father's house in heaven. You're the one that prepares a room in the Father's house on earth. And that room is your body. And how you present it to him, you present it a living sacrifice, holy unto him. And it seems like it's been 40 years of perfecting that, or not perfecting, but dealing with the flesh, mortifying the deeds of the body, and not, it starts with the deeds, you know, but then it goes to deeper things like mortifying the desire for the praise of man, mortifying envy, mortifying greed, mortifying the love of money, mortifying everything really, to where you become the servant. I hope you listened to the messages, at least some of them, that the Lord did to me last year. He started off, humble yourself, humble yourself, humble yourself. And when you think you can't humble yourself anymore, then humble yourself some more. And then he brought us to that part where he says, if you want more faith, if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, he began dealing with us and teaching us out of Luke chapter 17, verses 1 through 10, about if you really want to increase your faith, you have to become a servant like Jesus was a servant, where every day your job is to do whatever he says. In the parable, he said, feeding cattle, milking cattle, whatever it is he has you do. But at the end of the day, even at the end of the day, when you've done your duty, you come to him and say, "Master, do you need anything else? Is there anything else?" Because you are a 100% servant. Well, that's where he's been bringing us all of these years. And now we're at that point in time where he said, it's time now to cross over. I got to stay with these notes. But that word mansions and abode are the same word, Greek word mone. And it means a dwelling place. Now, you're going to have to start getting this strong on the inside of you. Christ is in you. And the Father is in him. He has a room. He has a room to stay in on planet Earth. Don't be looking around at Bronk and Homer and me. Look at yourself. You are a room. in the Father's house on earth. And he has come to dwell on the inside of you. Glory to God, about to have a running fit. Then he says, conquer those few. I love how he said that. Conquer those few remaining strongholds of unbelief and possess what is yours. Now, he instructed me, because we're dealing not only with you at Immokalee, but all those watching online. Some of you have been with this message and doing the message for decades, to be honest. Others might be pretty new to it, and they're going, I'm still dealing with the flesh over here. Hey, I'm still, you know, like Gary. I mean, I'm the poster boy for that. You know, I smoked for eternity in 3 days before I finally matured enough to quit. So he told me to say it to you like this, and I'm going to stay with my notes. Listen, I don't care if you are still dealing with the flesh. The Lord can use you today. Now, the Corinthian church was the most baby church that we have in the New Testament. Paul specifically said about them, he said, I'd like to give you meat, but you're such spiritual babies, I can only give you milk. But you know what else he said about that church? He says, you come behind and no gift. Did you know you can find, not only can God use you today, no matter how much you're still dealing with the flesh. Did you know he can actually use people in the gifts of the Spirit that aren't even saved? Gary, how can you say that? Because the Bible does. If we had time, we could do a seminar. I could take you back through the Old Testament. Did you know all of the gifts of the Spirit, except two, were manifested in the Old Testament? People that weren't even born again yet, much less Spirit-filled. But all of the gifts of the Spirit, except two, and those are tongues and interpretation of tongues, all the rest of them you can find in the Old Testament. What does that tell you? Well, it's no coincidence that Pastor Bronk recently has been teaching on one of the gifts of discerning of spirits. Because listen, I don't care how new you are to this message. I'm really speaking today, or he's speaking today, to two groups. Hey, if you're still mortifying the flesh, stay in there. Push away from the table a little more. I'm telling you, he gave me instruction last year that caused more fasting than I've ever done in my life. And I'm telling you, it made a difference. There's things that I can't even begin to go into today. But I thank God now. Nobody likes pushing away from the table when you do it. But you'll like the fruit later. Can't get into that today. I want to quote you something from the blueprint. This is from that prophecy that's in the series of 10 that came through Pastor Bronk. This is from Bring Me Gold. The Holy Spirit said, I desire that all of you walk in all of the gifts of the Spirit. Did you hear that? Does all of you mean you? Does all of mean just a few of you? I want to say it again. The Holy Spirit says, then which means the head of the church is saying, I desire that all of you walk in all of the gifts of the Spirit, all of the gifts of the Spirit flowing through you. Then he starts talking about Joel's army. I desire that Joel's army, the army of the last day, will flow together. No weak and no sickly among you. That is my desire. For I have chosen you as a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people peculiar unto me. Now, for the longest time, I had trouble with Joel's army. Because when I would read it, You know, prophecy very often would have a nearby manifestation and then a long time in the future manifestation. Well, I knew that the nearby manifestation really was talking about the invasion of the Babylon army coming in to subdue the land. And when they came, they looked like a swarm of locusts, you know. And so I had a hard time really relating that to the end time Joel's army for the longest time, until one day the Lord took me and showed me again how Jesus, one man, one born again. Well, when I say born again, what he received at his first birth is the life that we receive at our second birth. Let me just say it this way. One man born of God and anointed by the Holy Ghost. when he would come into a village, from the devil's point of view, he would devastate the harvest fields of the enemy. People would turn to God. People would repent. Blind eyes were opened. Deaf ears would open. The lame would walk. The dead were raised. And sometimes even the maimed were made whole. And that's one man. Then he sent out the 12 under his anointing, and all of them doing the same thing. And then he sent out the 70. Think what it looked like from the devil's perspective. Here you've had this village. You've got sick people and deaf people and blind people and all of these things. That's your harvest field. And all kinds of sin and debauchery is going on. That's your harvest field. This is my town. The devil's got it. You know, these principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. And all of a sudden, here comes this one man. And then here comes the 12, and here comes the 70. And you watch as they devastate your fields. Now, this end time army that's coming from the devil's point of view, we're going to be like a swarm of locusts. It's not going to be one, not going to be 12, not going to be 70. There's going to be millions of us. And from the devil's point of view, have you ever seen a documentary where it shows those locusts coming? And, you know, you can do whatever you want, SWAT. You may kill a few of them, but there's millions and millions of them. And no matter what you do, when that swarm moves on, your fields are devastated. And that's what it's going to be like for the devil. My God, they came. It was Joe Public and Mary Wallpaper, but they are every one of them full of God. Every one of them anointed by the Holy Ghost. Every one of them had dominion over my devils. Every one of them could cast out devils, heal the sick, raise the dead, open the eyes of the blind. That is Joel's army, and don't you lose the vision of it. And he says, I want each and every one of you filled with the Holy Ghost. I want each and every one of you and all of the gifts working through all of you all the time. Be expecting instant miracles. Glory to God. I don't know about you, but I'm having church myself here. Hallelujah. Now see, then the next sentence, he says, it is the year of inheritance. I've been praying about this. I said, Lord, what do you mean by that exactly? The year of inheritance. You know what that is in the Jewish culture is a bar mitzvah. It's when the child has become of age. I think they celebrate it when they're going 12 to 13. I'm not an expert there. But what the bar mitzvah really is our child who has been a child in the house. Today, we declare him to be a man. And he's mature enough now. He's of age to participate in the family business. It's time for your inheritance to step into your inheritance, cross over the Jordan, and let's take what's ours, which is the abundant life. He said, it's the year of obtaining. When I was praying and asking the Lord about that sentence, he brought to my mind the very first message in red letters that's in the book of Mark. You don't have to turn to any of these. We'll not have time, really. But Mark chapter 1 and verse 15, Jesus said, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand, meaning it's available. Then he says, repent ye and believe the gospel. Is that not what he's saying to us right now? It's time to end the wandering. It's time to end the wandering and the wandering. It's time to stand there and accept our bar mitzvah day. God has declared you are of age now to participate in the family business. And the family business is about seeking and saving the lost with all that that entails, which includes everything like the widows and the orphans and the healing the sick and open the blind eyes. But it's going to usher in the greatest harvest of souls that the world has ever seen. Glory to God. What a time to be alive. What a time to be alive. It's amazing. And then he said it's the year of possessing the land. See, the internal war against the flesh has been long and hard. We can all say amen. We're not ever going to trust the flesh, not even after we're in heaven for 30 minutes like Bronk teaches. And he says, I know you won't have flesh in heaven, but still don't trust it. I love that. But see, here's up until now, this warfare, this purging, the mortification, the focus has been really very much inward, a purging. It's very much like Jesus cleansing the temple and driving out the money changers. It's very much like that. But see, really, the time comes. What's happening now, the warfare is changing from that internal war purging the flesh and all the motivations of the flesh. Now the warfare is turning outward, where it's time to start possessing the land, where you're going to start yourself. In fact, he just gave me this quote for you. It's Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Is that not how God sent him? To go about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil? Did you know in John 17:18, Jesus said, Father, as you have sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. And this is the year of that sending. This is the year of that sending. I don't pretend to know how all this will manifest. It's not my job as pastor to receive the vision individually for you as a church, how this will all manifest. That's not my job. But I do know there is a primary shifting of the war from the internal, although we're never going to trust the flesh. I have to keep throwing that in. They're always going to keep your foot on the neck of the flesh, okay? But that warfare that's turning from internal now is going to turn somehow to the external. He'll be dealing with your pastor and wherever you are on that, how exactly that's going to manifest. But it's going to turn from primarily a defensive war and a purging war to a demonstration war. We're going to come now like the locusts. It's time for Joel's army to rise up and begin devastating the harvest fields of the enemy. Glory to God. Now, he said this is the year of harvest. And when I heard that, I can't help but think of John 15, verses 7 through 8. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. I hope you've been listening to some of the messages he's been having me do on recoding the brain. I'm not getting permission to go into that very much. But if you haven't been listening to them, I recommend them to you. By the way, you can afford them. They're free. So he's still continuing with that. But his words are going to have to abide in us in a way. Yes, I've cut out my shadow. I'll just share this one with you. What he's having me, a portion of my mornings right now, is just saying these over and over again. I'm not trying to convince God. I'm recoding my brain. And I mean the gray matter itself, the literal gray matter, the 3.5-pound gray matter. I just say myself, whatever I ask in your name, you'll do it. Whatever I ask in your name, Jesus, you'll do it. Whatever I ask in your name, you'll do it. Brain, are you listening? Gray matter, pay attention. Whatever I ask in his name, he'll do it. He'll do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Whatever I ask. What's going on there? I'm recoding my brain. You could say I'm believing. That's what he said. That is what he said. All right, moving on. And he calls it the year of manifestation. Well, that's John 14, 12 through 14. It's right above that. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do. Because I go unto my Father, here it is, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Just say it with me. Father, Jesus has said, whatever I ask in his name, he has promised He will do it. I believe. Jesus, whatever I ask in your name, you'll do it. Whatever I ask in your name, you'll do it. Gary, how long do you do that? Moving on. That's between you and him. Now, he said to be expecting instant miracles. Be expecting instant miracles. An instant manifestation. Be expecting instant manifestations. He repeated himself. Then he says it this way. Allow my bare arm to be manifested in strength through your bodies. Hello, Joel's army again. When I do that, I'm getting his sorting of the order to present things in. That's going to come a little later. I can see it now. The next thing he says is, I have answered your prayers. Well, how long have we been praying? You know, for me, this all started years and years ago. One of the early times when Sue and I went to New York on purpose to pray for a young man named Tommy. We didn't spend our money to fly there and take our daughter with us and meet with pastors and the parents. We didn't do all of that, not expecting him to be healed because he had multiple sclerosis. In a wheelchair, little Tommy Perez. Well, he's not so little anymore now. He's in his 40s now, still in the chair. But we went expecting instant manifestation. You don't spend that kind of money and go there not expecting. We expected it. And I'll just tell you, I prayed with all the faith that I had. I wrung myself inside out. I know Sue did. Our daughter Erin did. The parents did. The pastor who was there did. We commanded. We shouted. We cried. We wept. We prayed. We did everything that I've ever heard anybody do or ever seen any minister do. Tommy didn't get out of the chair. And I'm telling you, when that happens, everything in you wants to quit. Everything in you wants to give up. And the devil is right there perched on your shoulder, shouting as loud as he can, "Has God said?" He's trying to get you to doubt the word of God. And all these years pressing in, I've never lost that vision. And I'm telling you, the day is still coming when Tommy Perez is going to step out of that wheelchair. He's going to walk uprightly, hopefully right into your church will be one of the places he comes to give his testimony. And he'll be walking straight and true and be telling what great things the Lord has done for him. Because God cannot lie. He is not a liar. And Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. Now, you're going to hear me later in this talk a little bit about Abraham and Sarah. They were believing for something supernatural. Now, trust me, Sue and I are not believing for a baby in our old age. No, no, no. But they were believing for something supernatural, a supernatural thing that could not happen without the intervention of God. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. And God came and promised and gave them a vision and told them what he was going to do. But they carried this promise for 25 to 30 years. And still now they're 99. Abraham's 99 and Sarah's 90 years old. He's not a hot rod like he used to be. And we've got children in the room. I'm going to keep it very PG. But Sarah said when she heard this, when she heard God say about this time next year, Sarah's going to have a baby. And she laughed. She laughed and she said, am I again going to have pleasure from my husband, him being old? Abraham wasn't a hot rod he used to be. And it tells us plainly that for Sarah, she was past the time of the way of women, meaning she wasn't even ovulating anymore. There was no egg to even fertilize. In the natural, this was absolutely impossible. Now, see, they were their faith was for a supernatural birth. For them, it was the birth of Isaac. For us, it's the birth of a revival. We are contending for something that has never been seen on planet Earth. This revival, God has said again and again, is even going to go beyond the book of Acts, that we are going to see things that have never been seen. We're contending for a supernatural birth that's going to require the intervention of God exactly the same way that Abraham and Sarah had to believe for a supernatural birth that could not happen without the supernatural intervention of God. But I'll tell you, if you've been listening to the messages, he's had me teach on it. They didn't start off strong in faith like you read about in Romans 4. Abraham was strong in faith and he didn't waver and he staggered not at the promise of God. And Sarah counted him faithful who promised, and they believed that what God had promised he was well able to perform. And in the early days, I'd read that and go, I wish I was like that. I doubt everything. You know, I'm barely hanging on to the truth that I'm saved. I mean, in the early days, but thank God for the whole Bible, because later on he showed me in Genesis they didn't start off that way. Abraham laughed and Sarah laughed when God told them at age 99 and 90 that they were going to have a baby. Now I'm just going to go ahead and do this. I've got to do it now, even though it's not in the sequence of the notes. Can you picture that? Can you go with me there in meditation for a minute? Can you put yourself in Abraham and Sarah's shoes? 99 years old. 90 years old, not a pretty sight. You're no longer the hot rod you used to be. She's not even ovulating anymore. And God comes and says, you're going to have a baby about this time next year by natural means, by the way. No more Hagars. You, Abraham, and your wife, you two, she's going to have a baby. You're going to conceive a child. And they both laughed, if you go back and read it. Now think about it. When God is there and his presence is there, oh my goodness. But see, eventually he left. And there you are. You're Abraham, 99 years old. You're Sarah, 90 years old. If you consider your body now dead, the Bible says, when it comes to producing children, if you look at the natural circumstances, now, again, I'm going to keep it PG. But perhaps that very night, they thought, well, we expect instant manifestation. Because what did God say? You're going to do this. So maybe that night, they expected instant manifestation. Keeping it very PG, let's just say it didn't happen. It didn't happen. Well, now, what are you going to do the next day? Well, thank God he changed their name, where they had no choice. Abraham said, no matter what happened last night, no matter the last time I prayed for a Tommy Perez, no matter what happened last night, Sarah, I am the father of a multitude. And Sarah says, I am the princess that will produce the heir to the throne. God was recoding their brain. Every time they said their name, they're only saying what God says about them. They couldn't say anything else. I am the father of a multitude. I'm sure they got together, and together they would see the stars at night, because God had given them a vision. Your seed is going to number like the stars of heaven. All right, God, you showed us that many years ago. We see and we say, Abraham, I am the father of a multitude. Sarah, I am the princess, the one who produced the heir to the throne. Second night, they're expecting instant manifestation. Let's just say, for teaching's sakes, it didn't happen. Third day, fourth day, I will only say what God said about me. I will only say I am the father of a multitude. Abraham came to the point, Romans 4 tells you, where he came to the point, no longer did he consider his own body. He did it first because he laughed. But he came to the point, he says, I don't even consider my own body. And I'm not considering the deadness of Sarah's womb. I'm not going to stagger at the promise of God. What he promised, he's well able to perform. Fourth day, fourth night, fifth day, fifth night. But let me tell you this. Somewhere in the next 3 months, as they continued to see and to say what God had said about them, not going to waver. I'm only going to say what God said. I am the father of a multitude. Sarah, I am the princess who will produce the heir. Did you know Isaac was born roughly 1 year after that event? Which means by their seeing and saying, the power of the Holy Ghost turned back the clock in their bodies. Because Isaac was born about a year later. That means conception happened sometime within about 3 months. Did you know it turned back the clock in Sarah's body to the point that King Abimelech wanted her in his harem? When's the last time you knew of a 90-year-old that a king wanted in his harem? What had happened there? The power of the Holy Ghost had been loosed. So just because he says, expect instant manifestation, he means exactly that. Expect it every time you pray. Expect it every time you lay hands on the sick. Expect it every time you speak the word. Expect it every time you confess the word. Expect it, but do not be moved away from what he said. No matter what you see, you keep seeing and you keep saying, and we are going to birth what he's called us to birth, which is this end time revival. Glory to God. This is worth giving your life for. This is worth laying down your life. This is worth pushing away from the table. This is worth turning off the TV and giving your time to the visions God has for you for this end time revival. Oh, man, I just want to go pray now. Father, I pray the same presence that I feel here. Father, let them feel it there everywhere, not only in Immokalee, but around the world, everyone. Even in the future, Lord, let your presence come. Let them feel that tangible presence of the Holy Spirit. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right, going back to the prophecy now. I got to rein myself in because he wants to finish this. Then he says, I have answered your prayers and I am stretching forth my hand to heal and to do signs and wonders by the name of my son, Jesus Christ. Hold not back my bare arm through unbelief. Believe. And of course, he's reminding us of the prayer that the apostles prayed. See, don't think persecution is not going to come. If you think there was a target on your back before, don't think that target's leaving when you start stepping out now. You're launching into a new level of warfare, and trust me, persecution's going to come. And like Pastor Dave said, you'll be stopped if you're stoppable. I don't believe you are stoppable, and I don't think God thinks you're stoppable either. But see, this is exactly what they prayed after they were arrested and beaten and threatened. Don't you dare preach in that name anymore. And here's their prayer, Acts chapter 4, verses 29 and 30. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal and to do signs and wonders, that they may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And he said to us, I have answered that prayer in your life. I have answered that prayer. When he says, I am stretching forth my hand, you might as well know the hand of the Lord is the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, if I cast out devils by the finger of God. In another place, he says, if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is the hand of the Father outstretched, and he is going to stretch forth his hand through your body. This is the year of believing that. This is the year of having faith in that name and believing that what you say in his name shall come to pass. See, all of those teachings that we've heard down through the years. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. God's going to change. He's going to start putting a bridle on our mouths by his Spirit. We're not going to be nearly as loose with our talk as we've been in the past, because listen, your words have power. We're all coming to the place now. Now, what you say shall come to pass. Say it with me. I am the person that believes. What I say comes to pass. When I speak in the name of Jesus, and I command the mountain to move, the mountain moves. Because I believe what I say will come to pass. And then right after that, he says, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. Let's do that. Father, every time I pray, I believe I receive right then. And I shall have it. You cannot lie. Whatever I ask in your name, Lord, you do it. Hallelujah. Now see, that brings us right into what he said next here on the see and say part. See and say. This is how Jesus Christ ministered on earth. And this is how he ministers through you today. See what I am doing and do likewise. Say what I am saying and watch the power flow. See and say. See and say. Well, I'm seeking the Lord on this. I said, Lord, do you want me to expound on this as a teacher? And he gave me this. Jesus said, you know, was it Philip that said, show us the Father? Just show us the Father and that will be enough for us. Jesus said to him, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. See, if you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. Well, have you seen Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Do you remember one of the other of the prophecies in the blueprint says, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John shall be restored in the earth. And it's going to be restored through you. Do you see the Father? Did you know that if you look at Jesus, if you go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I don't even know how many times I've assimilated those books at this point, but I know that the time came a long time ago when I realized a few things. Here's a few truths for you to see. Did you know Jesus never once refused to heal anybody who came to him for healing? Have you seen that? I'm going to ask this question. Have you seen the Father? Because Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I sometimes do that message where I take 7 meetings of Jesus out of the book of Matthew, and I stay in the book of Matthew so we know we're not duplicating the same meeting twice. 7 different meetings. It either says he healed them all, or it says they brought all the sick to him and he healed them, which means them all them sick. If you had been to all 7 of those meetings and you saw him heal the sick, can I say first time, every time, no exceptions, 7 times, 7 meetings in a row, and sometimes some of those meetings were great multitudes, thousands upon thousands. How many sick did you watch get healed? Several hundred at that meeting, several hundred more at the next meeting. And even your 3.5-pound brain began to go, he doesn't turn any of them away. He heals the nice people. He heals the not-so-nice people. He heals the gentle people. He heals some of the harsh people. It doesn't matter. He heals them all. And my question is, have you seen the Father? Because if you've seen Jesus, he said, see and say. Have you seen the the Father? Here's another. Did you know that Jesus put on equal plane, equal footing, forgiveness of sin and healing? You can look this up later. It's in Mark chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. That's where they had let the man down who had the palsy. They couldn't get in the door because there were so many people there. So they went up on the roof and they broke it open somehow. And they let this man down somehow with ropes, I guess, on a stretcher or something because he can't walk. He's paralyzed. And he's come to the meeting. And they're all watching. What's Jesus going to do? And in Mark chapter 2, verses 9 and 11, Jesus says this. Well, which is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way unto thy house. He equated forgiveness of sins with healing the sick. You got to hear Homer's message last Wednesday. Hear it again. He had put on the same plane forgiveness of sins and healing the sick. No difference whatsoever, I'm going to ask. Have you seen the Father? Because that's what you've got to see as you go forth to say. You've got to see the Father and know Christ is in you and the Father in him. One more. By two or three witnesses, let every word be established. I always want something from the Old Testament. See, because anything that's real casts a shadow. And if you find something in the New Testament, go, this is real, you better find the shadow in the Old. Well, here's the shadow. Go to, well, don't go to it. We don't have time. But later, go to Psalms 103, verses 1 through 3. Very familiar to us. But notice, again, the same stripes, the same sacrifice of Jesus. Homer's message again. It's the same for healing and for forgiveness of sin. A psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Now get this. Forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all thine iniquities, who heals all thy diseases. I'm going to ask again, have you seen the Father? We got to see and say the time of wandering and wondering is over. He's having us recode our brain, even the gray matter itself. Yes, sir. I saw Peter stepping out of the boat. He reminded me again. Did you know Peter's gray matter? You know the gray matter that God gave us? He gave it to us to navigate in this world. If you see the bus coming down the street, don't step off the curb in front of the bus. That's why he gave you the gray matter, okay? See, the gray matter, even in Peter's time, Peter wasn't born again. Peter didn't have faith that a human being could walk on water, even though he's seeing Jesus. Peter didn't have faith for that. The gray matter, I don't know that it will ever be able to comprehend that because it's designed to operate by the Newtonian laws of this world. But you know what it also did believe, though? The gray matter, even the gray matter in Peter's brain believed that whatever Jesus said would come to pass. If Jesus said it, then you could do it. That's why he worded it the way he did. He didn't say, Jesus, make me able to walk on the water. He didn't have faith for that. He said, if it's you, you tell me to come. And if you say it, I can do it. Your gray matter can believe that. And Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. Recode your brain with that. Whatever you ask in my name, he said, I will do it. Okay. Then near the end of that prophecy, he said, fresh eyes. You shall see more clearly. This is for your salvation. So I don't go 4 hours. You shall see more clearly with the eyes of your spirit than ever before. Do you think it's a coincidence that Pastor Bronk recently was teaching on the gift of discerning of spirits? That's done with your spiritual eye. That's done with the new man, where you discern by the new man, by revelation. you discern the spiritual realm. You shall walk in truth as never before. Now get this, reality for you, not just in Immokalee, you, all of you, reality for you is no longer those things seen in the world. Reality for you are those things that exist in the kingdom of God. You shall no longer accept what the natural eyes perceive as being truth. My word is truth. You shall see with the eyes of Christ within you. You shall discern truth as it really is. I have no greater joy than to see my children walk in the truth. Now, I want to give you two helps on that. If you go to my website, which is garycarpenter.org, right on the face page down near the bottom in the center, you'll see face to face. If you click on that, it'll take you to a page where it has all of these different lessons, and they're there both in written format and MP3 format. To really train yourself, I recommend two of them when it comes to the reality of the kingdom. One of them is the highest order of reality, and the other one is the works of the Father. I highly recommend those to you. Study them. Make them part of you. Then the Lord continues in this prophecy he gave us. He says, doubt not my spirit's willingness to manifest truth through Christ in you. You know, the leper came to Jesus. He was convinced of the power of God. He was convinced that Jesus Christ had the power of God available. He says, I know you can heal me. I just don't know if you're willing. I don't know if you want to. And the Bible says, in the Greek, it says he immediately stretched forth his hand and said, he touched him and said, I will. Removing all doubt. And the man was healed. Well, God's calling us now to remove all doubt, that last vestige. Doubt not my spirit. He's talking about the Holy Spirit in you, his willingness to manifest truth through Christ in you. See and say, going back to like Abraham and Sarah, see and say, my spirit will perform all my good pleasure as you do so. Now, to help you with that, again, go back to garycarpenter.org, the face-to-face. The last one on that list is agreeing with the mind of Christ. And I'm going back through that again every day, recoding my brain with all of that, saying it out loud myself, not just reading it, not just listening to it, saying it out loud myself, recoding the gray matter of my brain. Now, I'm just going to tell you again, when you would walk through the doors of the prayer center in Tulsa when we had our own building, in big letters on the right-hand side as you walked in, there was the first prophecy given to the prayer center, and the title of it, Endurance is the Key. And boy, have we not found that to be the case. I'm going to say it again. Abraham and Sarah went from laughing unbelief to what we read in Romans 4 about them being, and Hebrews 11, you know, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. How? She counted him faithful, who had promised, but she didn't start off that way. She laughed, just like Abraham did. By the way, God is so good. Do you know what he had them name the baby? Isaac. Do you know what Isaac means? Laughter. It's like God saying, I'll have the last laugh in this. You may laugh in the beginning, Abraham, Sarah, you might laugh in the beginning, but I'm telling you, you see and say what I said, I'm going to have the last laugh, and Isaac is going to be born. He's going to have the last laugh, and this revival is going to be born through you. And I'm telling you, joy. Yeah, we've been through seasons of prayer and fasting and mortifying the flesh and pushing away from the table, and I'm not saying that's really going to end. But what's going to happen now, though, that focus is going to turn from inward to outward. I don't pretend to know how the logistics of that for your church. That'll be up to you, between God and your pastor. but I just know it's happening, and it's going to happen all around the world, because this is not just a Tulsa thing, an Immokalee thing, a Dayton thing, or an American thing. This is a worldwide revival. God's got remnants around the world pressing into God with all they know how, and I'm telling you, Joel's army is going to arise worldwide, and we're going to devastate the harvest fields of the devil, and the devil will be ruined the day that he ever messed with you. Keep seeing and saying. Keep on obeying the gospel. Let us become just like Abraham and Sarah, become fully, they went from laughing unbelief to fully persuaded, and we're going to do the same thing, that what God has promised, God is able also to perform. Let us continue to count him faithful also. Now let me pray over you. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I've delivered with the best of the gift you've given me. I've delivered your heart the best that I can as a teacher. But now, Father, I ask for your Holy Spirit to seal this message. Seal it, Lord, within every person present in the room, every person watching online, every person that ever will watch online. Seal this, Lord. This is the year of believing. The time has come. Our bar mitzvah is at hand. We have graduated now, crossed over into the land of believing. We are the believers now, and this is the year of believing in Jesus' name. And if you agree with that, you can say, amen, amen, amen. Well, this was a message to believers. Pastor, I don't know what else to do, but I'm going to turn it back over to you. I am finished. That's his heart. That's the message that he gave me. And I'm just going to let you close out the service now. And I think it's my privilege. Love you all.
Hallelujah. Gary, if you'll meet me in the parking lot, we'll go to Lozano's.
Boy, would I love that.
Hallelujah. Please give Sue a hug for us.
Oh, I will.
Hallelujah.
I will.
How many of you would like to experience this a couple more times at least this year? Would you come back? Hallelujah.
Sure. I'm going to be there anyway.
You're going to be here
I'll either
anyway.
Be in the crowd. I'll either be in the crowd or speaking, Hallelujah. Whichever one you want.
Would you stand with me and let's just lift our hands and just worship God for just a moment before we go out of here. Father, we receive this message. All the glory. All the glory. All the glory. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. We receive it. Hallelujah, as we cross over into this year. Thank you, Father. This is the year of revival. Hallelujah. All the glory to God. We love you. All of you that are watching, thank you so much for being in this service with us this morning. And just stay focused. Keep going forward. Do those things that you've heard this morning. And God is with us all. Hallelujah. We love you. Blessings on all of you. God bless you. And all of you watching, blessings to you as well. We'll see you later, old buddy. Blessings.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Love you all.